time of year again. Kool-Aid Man, you ready for Christmas?
Oh yeah!
Yeah!
Ho, ho, hello, and welcome to another seasonal celebration of Christmas magic and music from Fire & Water Records, a proud part of the Fire & Water Podcast Network. This is A Very Daily Christmas, Volume 5, which means I am one of your hosts, Ryan Daly. Alongside the eggnog to my chestnuts, the Yukon to my bumble, my brother, Neil Daly. What's up, man?
Boy, you're getting pretty good at these intros, man. Pretty damn good. Hi, everybody. I'm Neil Daly, Ryan's brother. You might remember me from such controversial holiday songs as "Is That You, Jingle Balls?" and "Mrs. Claus is Coming to Town." So it's good to be here back again, five times running. And so we've hit the SNL's Five Timers Club.
Yeah, we get special jackets.
Yeah, I think we should.
Yeah. Folks, we have a very exciting episode today, and I do not want to bury the lead. You will hear on this episode a Christmas song that you have never heard before. How do I know that for sure? Because we are premiering it ourselves to you, our wonderful Fire & Water listeners. I'll explain a little bit more later on in the show. You know, just like with a real Christmas, you have to wait to the end for the real special present. Before that, though, we have got plenty of other festive fun. Obviously, we've got music front and center. Neil and I have each brought five new songs to add to your holiday playlist this year. And that is not counting the Little John banger that you just heard at the top of this episode. Neil, what does Kool-Aid Man say?
Oh, yeah. You know, it's so great that you picked this song. It's indicative. This is a good precursor to the song that we're going to debut later on. But more importantly, I think the song is it's so fun. It's got such good energy. And last year we kind of adopted the motto for that singular episode, episode 4 of Who Cares. That was kind of our recurring theme, Who Cares. And I think based on that track that you just played, I think tonight's big motto is Oh Yeah.
Oh. We are also going to talk about some of our favorite Christmas commercials from years past. This, again, largely inspired by something from our last episode when you talked about that Folgers coffee commercial. Brought out a lot of discussion in the comments section.
Yeah. And I think it's going to be great. You know, we'll try to find like YouTube links that we could put in the comments section, because hopefully our descriptions will be fairly accurate. What I'm counting on is, you know, some of these things just like I remember certain things even from as far back as like my early childhood and stuff. So what I'm hoping that there's just that element of nostalgia and childlike wonder when we mention some of our favorite memorable commercials. I'm hoping that the listeners out there are going to be like, oh my God, I remember that commercial.
Mm-hmm. And we've got brand new stories, folks, because if you recall also from last year's episode, I previewed that the Dailies, my family, Neil's family, and our parents would all be together for Christmas for the first time in forever.
And oh, yeah.
If you think that went off without a hitch, folks, let me tell you. So look forward to that story in a little while. But now I think we're going to get right into our tracks. Sometimes, not every year, but sometimes we approach these tracks list with a particular theme, some unifying idea beyond the spirit of Christmas that they kind of have in common. The first three songs on my list kind of share something like that. Not long ago, I was talking to my friends, Chrissy and John, and John, who has no idea that this podcast exists, said he thought about me when his family was discussing best and worst Christmas songs. He's like, Ryan would probably have an opinion on that. I was like, do I? So he asked me, what do I think are the best and worst Christmas songs? For best, I rattled off a list of songs that we've already discussed, mostly from our very first episode.
Right.
Oh, Holy Night, Please Come Home for Christmas, Have Yourself a Merry
Wait, when you
Christmas.
Say Oh, Holy Night, you got to be more specific.
All of them. All of the Holy Night. Also, I'd be remiss if I didn't mention right now, rest in peace, Shane McGowan, the lead singer of the Pogues, who died just about a week ago as we're recording this. I've listened to Fairy Tale of New York a lot in the last few days, as I tend to do every Christmas. It's truly a great song. I don't even know. I spent so much time talking about like the reason that I picked it that I don't even know how much I talked about the song itself on that first episode. But the melody, the composition, the harmony and contrast and balance of their voices, both Shane and Christy, it's a transcendent song. And it is also from a very, very good album. If anyone likes that song, check out the album If I Should Fall from Grace from God with God by the Pogues. It's a great album.
Yeah, I would even I highly recommend anybody that doesn't remember our first episode because it was so long ago, or if you've listened to it, go back and re-listen to it. If you've never listened to it, go back and listen to it. You had such wonderful stories and a connection to that song and being in Ireland and everything that you were going through in your personal life, about to, you know, just finding out that you're going to be a father, and playing that song. I think that it's just so beautiful. And I got to be honest with you, though, when I heard that the singer died last week, the first thing that popped into my head was the Kelce Brothers doing their version of Fairy Tale of Philadelphia. That's the first thing I heard in my head. So if you're not familiar with what I'm talking about, Travis and Jason Kelce, football players of Philadelphia in Kansas City. Travis, everybody knows for different reasons right now,
Mr.
but
Tay-Tay.
yeah, Mr. Tay-Tay. Oh yeah. But Travis and Kelce did, well, the Philadelphia Eagles, believe it or not, did a Christmas album, and with all the offensive linemen that sing, and it's some of it's comical, some of it's quite good. But most notably, the thing that jumped out was the two Kelce brothers did their version of that Pogue song, and it's a song.
It's not embarrassing, is what I'll
No,
say.
it's not. It's not. When you think of two ginormously large white football players, it's not bad. It's not terrible.
It's not terrible. They actually, I mean, you know, there's some controversial lyrics in the original one, and they sidestep that by rewriting it. They use the word jabroni, which
Yes, they
is,
do.
well, in my book, if you can use jabroni in a lyric, you're gold.
It's very poignant too, because it is two brothers talking about,
Right.
you know, they're very similar to what we're doing, you know. So maybe in future podcasts we'll get the Kelce brothers on. So
Anyway, so back to that question. So when it came to worst Christmas song, I mean, I have one that I think is particularly dreadful. I don't know if I actually want to mention it.
you should have just mentioned Jan Terry.
Oh, that's on a different level. I don't know if I want to say what I think is actually the worst Christmas song. I think we'll get some hate for it. I don't want people to turn off the episode all the way out right now, you know.
All right, then you can drop it at the very end. How about that?
Okay, all right, remind me.
But
But
another, speaking of callback humor, though, if you want to hear a good and terrible Christmas song, check out Jan Terry's "Excuse My Christmas."
yeah, but this kind of got me in the head of thinking about old Christmas songs, kind of the standards that we heard all the time that just never resonated with me. They never connected with me. Either they were kind of too old-fashioned or too plain. They just thing, and I'm talking about songs like White Christmas, Silver Bells, Winter Wonderland. So as after that discussion, as an act of exercise, I set out to find some new and alternative versions of these songs that did strike a chord with me. So kicking off A Very Daily Christmas Volume 5 from the brand new special on Apple TV, Hannah Waddingham, Home for Christmas, it's Winter Wonderland by Hannah Waddingham featuring Luke Evans.
In the meadow we can build a snowman and pretend that he is Parson Brown. You'll say, "Are you married?" We'll say, "No, man. You can do the job when you're in town."
But later on we'll conspire as we dream by the fire to face unafraid the plans that we made walking in a winter wonderland.
Yes, you heard me right. That was her singing the duo with her is Luke Evans, the star of Dracula Untold. So I imagine after the performance, he just turned into a swarm of bats and flew away.
As he should.
Yeah. I also should mention that during this this performance, and you can hear the entire soundtrack. It is available like on Amazon Music. She does about 8 songs, including "Oh Holy Night," and I had to like grind my teeth not to pick that one. This one, but I like this one, and we're kind of going against type because you usually go with the big band, the big swinging mm-hmm. Christmas, and this time I'm coming out of the gate with one of these. And honestly, the reason I picked this one, the reason it struck a chord with me is because Hannah Waddingham is the star of the show Ted Lasso, the female lead of that show, and I just recently watched that a couple of months ago. I binged all 3 seasons, and it lives up to the hype and beyond. It is a really, really, really good show. The first season in particular, I think, is A+ all the way. The second and third seasons, where it falls short, it's only by comparison to the first season, and it also ends really strong. But she is an incredibly, like, she's got like this, she's a statuesque beauty. Her role, without spoiling too much, like, she brings in she inherits this premier English football club in a divorce from her husband, this ugly divorce, and she wants to ruin the club. She wants them to be horrible to spite him. So she brings in a coach from our football, who has no idea what he's doing. This sounds like I'm setting up like Major League. But the thing is, even though it's her place in the beginning, you never think of her as the villain of the show or as the antagonist. You sympathize with her. You know she's misguided, but she'll turn around, and she does. And also, I mean, because she's like this really, like this businesswoman, it's a kind of a shock, like 4 or 5 episodes in, when she actually reveals that she can sing. She does a version of Let It Go from Frozen, and she knocks it out, and you're like, wow, this woman is special. So that, like, when I saw that she was doing this Christmas special in front of the big band, I was like, this is going to be great. She's going to nail it. And I listened to the whole thing, and it's great. It's a really fun, really short show. Again, it's like 8 songs. You can download them and listen to them. I picked Winter Wonderland just because I like the duet nature with the actor. And again, this was one of those shows or one of those songs where I'm like, yeah, I hear this every year, but it never did anything for me. I was like, there was nothing objectionable about it, but it would never have made one of my lists for these shows until this year.
Yeah. Well, yeah, you kind of summed it up perfectly in terms of I'm surprised that you picked this. Well, no, let me rephrase that. I'm not surprised that you picked this because I believe this is a great song. I'm surprised because this seems more in my comfort zone than yours. That swing kind of big band, La Rat Pack type of, you know, kind of sound. It's Michael Bublé. It's that kind of, you know, that type of stuff. So I'm impressed that you picked this. Yeah, Hannah Waddingham. Oh yeah. I love me some Hannah Waddingham. She's so good. Her entire, the entire Christmas special, like you said, it's for, if you haven't seen it, or if anybody is planning on seeing it or planning on listening to the soundtrack, which is available, I think, on iTunes, cause it's an Apple connected thing. It's jazz, it's big band, it's swing. It reminds me like something like, I think I might have talked before about, like, in episodes past, like Seth MacFarlane did a swing album for Christmas with duets with like Sarah Bareilles and stuff like that. Or I talked about Michael Bublé and Idina Menzel before. Like, this has that same kind of thing. And to kind of cover for your little like oversight about Luke Evans being Dracula, the listeners, I understand you were kind of being funny with that, but the listeners should know that he was also Gaston from Beauty and the Beast.
Oh, sure. And
So he can sing. So it's not completely misguided.
That's true. So, yeah, I should have sold myself short. The man is a performer, an accomplished singer. And
exactly.
That's where my head went. Like, the first, I was like, Luke Evans, I was like, wait, the guy who punched the Turkish army as a flock of bats?
Yeah. He bat punched an entire army. Yeah. And to be honest with you, that's the first thing I think of when I think of him too. You know, like bat punching an army. That's, you know, I wish that was around today. But anyway, yeah. So he can actually sing, and this is a really, really good quality duet. It reminds me, Hannah's style reminds me, and this is probably somebody that's not on your radar, Ryan, because this isn't really your style of music per se. But if anybody else out there is a little more familiar with Broadway, she reminds me of Broadway singer that I saw in the Broadway show Jekyll and Hyde. I saw her live. Her name's Linda Eder or Eder.
Oh, I know the name. I know the name. Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. And she's got a bunch of Christmas songs, and she did a Christmas album. One of my favorites is her song, The Bells of St. Paul.
I know the song. Yeah.
Okay.
It's on one of my Christmas lists. Yeah.
Yeah. So there you go. It kind of brings that. It's like a little bit of Broadway, a little bit of swing. And it's a really good song choice. It definitely is in my wheelhouse, and I'm impressed that you picked it. And I think it's a great song choice to start the show.
Cool. All right. Well, you mentioned going along with like the big swing element. You mentioned the word Rat Pack. So where do we go from here?
Yeah. Okay. So my first song is going to be right in the same neighborhood, and I'm going to go with the classic 1959 version of "I've Got My Love to Keep Me Warm" by Dean Martin.
The snow is snowing and the wind it is blowing, but I can weather the storm. What do I care how much it may storm? I've got my love to keep me warm.
So this song, I'm sure people have heard before. It might not necessarily be a Christmas song per se, but it falls into all the Christmas holiday themed music. Originally written in 1937 by Irving Berlin, believe it or not. Dean Martin.
That name will come up a couple of times.
Yeah, yeah. He does come up quite often at the holidays. Dean Martin released this version in 1959. And in my opinion, it's probably the most well-known, iconic version of the song. We've talked before, Ryan, Motown has covered it. But this is more of that, like, kind of that Rat Pack era that we discussed. It's one of my favorites. If not, you know, probably behind Motown, this might be a second place for me. You know, for those of you that remember, Dean Martin was a member of the Rat Pack with Frank Sinatra, Dean Martin, Joey Bishop, I think later. Sammy Davis Jr. and Jerry Lewis. Yeah, and Peter Love. Yeah, those guys. So it's that type of thing. It's that kind of swagger, kind of crooner, the guys with like the tuxedos, but the tie open and smoking a cigarette and a glass of scotch on stage. You know, right. that type of look, which really is a look that should come back, by the way. yeah, my connection to this, it's kind of funny. I really never was into that kind of style until the movie Swingers came out in 1996, I guess it was. And I got the soundtrack to that movie, Vince Vaughn, John Favreau, that movie, and that whole kind of thing with the bowling shirts and the, you know, the slacks and the chain wallets and that look. And I got really into that movie, picked up the soundtrack, and there were a number of Dean Martin songs on there. That whole era was really cool. It kind of introduced me to something cool that I wasn't as familiar with. So then I went back and started checking out these guys. And of course, they all had Christmas albums. Frank Sinatra probably has three Christmas albums. But that got me into those. But I really dug Dino. I really like that. And, you know, people are probably more familiar with his version of Baby, It's Cold Outside. So anyway, I chose this song to open my list for the same reason I chose Everybody's Waiting for the Man with the Bag like a couple of years ago, because it's pure fun. It's up-tempo. It's energetic. It could easily open a movie. And therefore, by default, I feel like it could really open a podcast.
There you go. No, it's a good one. It's a really, really good one. I like this song a lot. It's funny. I kind of got into the Rat Pack music when the Steven Soderbergh remake of Ocean's 11 came out, the version with George Clooney and Brad Pitt and Julia Roberts. When that one came out, I actually got more interested in the original group, the Sinatra and and Dean Martin. So I listened to a lot of their music around that time. So yeah, I've always liked Dean Martin and Sinatra and those guys. So this is a fun one. I don't have much more to say, but I as soon as I saw this one on your list, I was like, I'm surprised we haven't come to this one earlier. But yeah, this was a fun.
Cool. All right. What do you got next?
All right. If you guys are in the mood for kind of a laid back, mellow, jazzy Christmas tune, and maybe you're like at a Christmas party and you don't want a lot of bombastic vocals when you're trying to socialize, you know, like Kool-Aid Man, for example.
Oh, yeah.
Well, obviously, the first place that you would go to is the soundtrack to Charlie Brown's Christmas, the special by the Vince Guaraldi Trio. We have covered that one before. Second to that, however, if you've already played Vince Guaraldi, then I would say look no further than Booker T. Washington. Look no further than Booker T and the MGs, specifically their rendition of the classic Silver Bells. Everyone has heard of Motown Records. We've talked about Motown a lot. In the 1960s, their chief competitor was Stax Records, based in Memphis. Stax Records was the major producer of what kind of became known as Southern soul music. And where Southern soul differed from Motown was in the musical foundation of its sound, this thing that they just called the groove. And that groove came from the house band at Stax Records. They had a set of session musicians that played for all of their contract singers and artists that recorded there. So pretty much any Otis Redding song you hear, it's Booker T and the MGs playing backup on all of his songs. Sam and Dave's biggest hits, too. And that was the house band. They were originally actually known as the Marquees. They eventually changed their name to Booker T and the MGs. And it was comprised of Booker T. Jones on piano and organ, Al Jackson on drums, Steve Cropper on guitar, and Lou Steinberg on bass. And after a couple of years, Steinberg was replaced by bassist Donald Duck Dunn. Now, if you recognize any of those names, congratulations, we can be friends, because Steve Cropper and Donald Duck Dunn were part of the Blues Brothers band. This was also one of the very first racially diverse groups in soul recording and R&B bands. The fact that half of them were black and half of them were white, that was a big thing. This song, Silver Bells, I always found it kind of forgettable, but when I heard this instrumental version of it, I really dug it, and it's cool that you can just kind of lay back. You can have a drink with this song. You can be talking to people. It's good for background. It's good if you're decorating. It's fun. And yeah, it's groove. It's got the groove.
You summed up a lot of the things that I had when I was going to describe the song. First of all, it's a cool song choice. And it's probably a niche song. It's probably not one that's going to grab everybody. That being said, first of all, for you and I and our daily family have probably a stronger connection to Booker T and the MGs than most because of the Blues Brothers, because of the backing band of the Blues Brothers. And we've talked ad nauseum about our connection to the Blues Brothers. They also toured with Neil Young before as a backing band. So there's a whole lot of weird connections that we kind of have to Booker T and the MGs. Now, I'm going to tell you a really interesting little cool segue that connects this song to my last song. And then you'll see in a weird way how these are connected that you might not even realize. Booker T and the MGs, as you mentioned, were a Saturday Night Live band, eventually blues backing band, Blues Brothers band. They had a big resurgence in the 90s when the movie Get Shorty came out. And that version, that more modern version of the band, released a popular song instrumental called Green Onions.
Yep.
That song was amazing and really, really cool and used in soundtracks and trailers for years to come. That song was so interesting and neat that it made me compile a collection of soundtrack songs, instrumentals that I thought were like kind of cool, that maybe they were like lounge music, like Buddha bar type of stuff, where you could, you know, just this kind of this, it presented a vibe. That also led me to the Ocean's 11 soundtrack, which we talked about in my last song. There's a guy named David Holmes, I think, had a couple instrumentals in Ocean's 11 that were very, very similar to Get Shorty's soundtrack. And so I put together this really cool collection of stuff, and even some stuff from the Dust Brothers from the Fight Club soundtrack and some things. There were some not the high tempo ones. But anyway, so I just thought that that was a really cool connection that I don't know if you realized how I connected these two songs back to back.
Nice.
So anyway, like we said, this might not necessarily be everybody's jam, but I do fall into the same camp as you that Silver Bells is certainly not one of the major Christmas classics that I've heard a lot of really good versions of. Right. It kind of falls by the wayside. I mean, I think I might have liked the Chipmunks version of it that Dave sings. But yeah, other than that, the song kind of flies under the radar. So this was a really interesting, cool song choice. And the thing I love about this type of stuff when we're doing these type of podcasts is we're not only mentioning our favorites, but we're also trying to introduce people to some new things and think outside the box a little bit. And I think you really did with this one.
Of course. What is yours? What is track four for this one?
All right. So the next song I'm going to do, I'm going to keep up the tempo, or I'm going to pick up the tempo again from where we were. I'm going to go with an interesting song that it took me a long time to find, but this goes way back for me, and I'm going to go with Hey Santa Claus by the Moonglows.
Hey Santa Claus, yeah. Hey Santa Claus, yeah. Hey Santa Claus, Santa Claus, Santa Claus, yeah. Hey Santa Claus, yeah. Hey Santa Claus, yeah. Hey Santa Claus, Santa Claus, Santa Claus, yeah. Santa Claus, bring my baby back to me. Hey, Santa Claus, bring my baby back to me. Well, I want that Christmas baby on the Christmas tree.
Oh, yeah. Okay, so here's how I arrived at this song. For last year's Very Daily Valentine's episode, I had a Thornetta Davis cover of Percy Mayfield's Please Send Me Someone to Love on the Valentine song list. If anybody wants to go back and listen to that episode, great episode, by the way. We're 2 months away from doing another one. While I was digging into all the artists that had covered that song last year when I was trying to find it, because remember I discussed it could have been Sade's version. There were a lot of covers of that particular song. One band that I discovered that had a big hit with it was called the Moonglows, and they did it in 1957. So I checked out that song, and the name, I didn't recognize their version or their voices, but the name Moonglows rang a bell, and I couldn't figure out how I'd heard of them. I wasn't sure. And at some point during my research, in my deep dive, it dawned on me, they sang the song Hey Santa Claus in the lingerie shopping scene in National Lampoon's Christmas Vacation. Right before the transition to from outside in the street in Chicago, where then it shows Clark at the meeting Mary, the girl with the lingerie. And I only knew that fact from while I was searching for the soundtrack to that album, which goes back to our very first Daily Family Christmas
episode. With the Mavis Staples song.
Yeah, with the Mavis Staples song, when we talked about how hard it was to find those songs because that movie never released a soundtrack. So this song has technically been on my radar for about 30 years. And it's taken me this long to put the pieces together to find out who wrote the song or who played the song, who sang it, what it's from, where I connected it from, and then find a good version of it. So anyway, after all of this jumping around and then find it after the Valentine's Day episode, when I finally figured that out and tracked it back to the Christmas Vacation thing, I played it, listened to it, loved it, added it to my oldies Christmas playlist, the Motown R&B stuff, the doo-wop style, and I can't hear this song now without thinking specifically about the scene in National Lampoon's Christmas Vacation.
I didn't recognize the song by name either. When you gave me your list, I was like, okay, I'm not sure about this one. As soon as I played it, as soon as it started, I knew exactly why you picked it and where it was from. Remember, I was transposed back to that scene in the movie National Lampoon's. Yeah. And again, getting back to like our special memories, folks, in the ancient ye old days. Before Cyber Monday, let alone Black Friday and all these things. Like, I remember us, you know, going into the city to do our Christmas shopping, you know, like, we would go after Thanksgiving, but then especially in the week before, you know, that was always the big thing, going to the big stores, the big malls and everything like that.
The giant Marshall Fields.
Exactly.
Remember the like 8-story Marshall Fields store right downtown on State Street.
I remember those times of going to shopping. So yeah, so this song again, I can see the back to back bumper to bumper traffic and like the outs here, the stores and like everything. And yeah, it's such, and again, even if you don't have that visual memory, the song is just fun. You can just put it on as like, yeah, that's a fun one. I love it.
All righty. So what do you got?
All right, so bringing up the next song, and this sort of completes the trilogy of my theme of songs that I've always heard, but I never found a version that really connected with me until just recently. And this one is White Christmas by Otis Redding.
In me, all of your Christmas in me, your Christmases be so white. I'm dreaming of a white. I'm dreaming of a white Christmas.
As I said when I was talking about Silver Bells, whenever you heard an Otis Redding song, the band accompanying him was Booker T and the MGs. So they kind of make two appearances in this one. This cover, which was produced by Steve Cropper and played by the MGs, was recorded at Stax. However, it was released as a single a year after Redding's death. He was one of those artists who was phenomenally gifted, but his career was only like 5 years because then he died in a plane crash in 1967. It was one of those things where just like so many talented people were dying at the same age in plane crashes and things like that. Again, with apologies to Irving Berlin, I never cared about this song. This is another that I always heard Bing Crosby's voice, and it just kind of washed over me, kind of like the adults in a Peanuts cartoon. It was just, there was no resonance. It was old. It was generic. But if you give this song to freaking Otis Redding, man, the dude is a legend, and I've said that Sam Cooke is my favorite soul singer, but Otis Redding is a really close second. And like I even by rights, I should like him more because of his voice. There's something more primal and snarly in his voice. And what he does with this song, playing with the timing and repeating vocals and things like that. He makes it soulful where I think it used to be kind of vanilla. he makes it something different that I really, really care about. So props to Otis. I should do an episode on him at some point. So this one is, those were kind of like the three that I thought about. That's White Christmas, Silver Bells, and Winter Wonderland. I hear these songs every year, but I hear the versions that were recorded, you know, before you were a child. And I'm like, oh, okay. What can you do? Something different. And these are something different that kind of gave them a new blood for me.
Great song choice. Again, this is one I was probably less familiar with, this version of the song. Obviously more people are familiar with Otis Redding's Merry Christmas Baby, and some of the other more popular staples on radio and stuff. But as you kind of summarized, you just can't go wrong with an Otis Redding song. Like, you can't. What he does with his songs are so unique so his style. It's just classic soul. And this, you know, I've mentioned this type of stuff before, but he has this way of kind of bringing me back to, I think we've talked about this in a previous podcast, but in Pump Up the Volume, the Why Can't I Fall in Love scene, you know, that kind of thing where this is that kind of Christmas song where you could turn the lights down and light candles, have a fire going and kind of slow dance with your girl kind of stuff. That's what Otis Redding does. It's just classic stuff. Here's something interesting that I don't know if you're aware of, or if the listeners are, a little bit of trivia, since you mentioned Bing Crosby's version of Great White Christmas. Did you know that that's in the Guinness Book of World Records, that is the greatest selling single of all time? Bing Crosby's White Christmas.
I did not know that.
Yeah. I was surprised to find that out too. And actually, speaking of this, if I can kind of veer off the Otis Redding song for just a second. So I heard on the news just this week that Mariah Carey and All I Want for Christmas Is You re-enters the Christmas chart or the Billboard charts every year, like clockwork, and is always number one. This week alone, she was upset at the number one spot. She fell to number two by the classic 1950s Brenda Lee song Rockin' Around the Christmas Tree. That song right now is number one on Billboard.
Is it connected to a movie or a trailer or a show or anything?
Not that I'm aware of. Not that I'm aware of. So then I looked at the rest of the Billboard charts. That song is number one. All I Want for Christmas is number two. And if you go down the list, Bobby Helms' version of Jingle Bell Rock is number four. Wham! Last Christmas is number five. Holly Jolly Christmas by Burl Ives is number six. So it's really interesting. Like, this is kind of a new thing that we should pay attention to, because I had always, like, these old Christmas staples, they get popular radio play, but they don't necessarily generate sales every year. Mm-hmm. The Mariah Carey song is the only one that I was familiar with for a long time that kind of kept getting back on the charts in terms of downloads and sales, right, and stuff like that. But this year I've noticed a whole string of classic. Andy Williams is on there. You know, like, some of these classic songs are in the top 20, which I thought was cool. But yeah, I mean, I don't know the answer to your question. I can't figure out why Brenda Lee's song would be number one right now if it's not tied into anything specific, but that song is number one on Billboard as we record this.
Well, if Mariah has shown this kind of vulnerability, then I'm putting the onus on our listeners, Fire and Water Records fans. It is up to you to get Lil Jon and Kool-Aid Man on this list. All I really want, All I really want, All right. Speaking of our listeners and other songs that aren't on our list, as we like to do every year, we get a lot of suggestions, recommendations, and messages in our listener feedback. Last year was no exception. So we got a couple of other songs recommended to us. I mentioned talking to my friends John and Chrissy. John wanted me to give a shout out to the song Silver and Gold from Rudolph the Red-Nosed Reindeer. That's special. Nice. That UConn sings. Chrissy mentioned Have Yourself a Merry Little Christmas, the version by Johnny Maestro and Brooklyn Bridge. That is very, very cool. I like that one. Our buddy Tom Panarese mentioned Hating You for Christmas by Everclear.
That's so Tom.
Chris Franklin mentioned one that you'll talk about, and we got a couple of recommendations by Siskoid: White Wine in the Sun by Tim Minchin, Christmas TV by Slow Club, and Christmas and Me Are Through by Your Vegas. Siskoid, he's one of those sad bastards at Christmas that we always try to have some song that is for them. So that really plays into his songs. But of those three, I really liked the last one that I mentioned, Christmas and Me Are Through by Your Vegas. I like that song a lot. So here's a little sample of that one.
Well, Santa Claus, Santa Claus, there's no Christmas here anymore. Put the bells away, burn the sleigh, throw the presents out of my door, 'cause she's gone. Everything they said was true. Christmas and me through.
All right, and Neil, what was the one that you were going to play?
First of all, Siskoid, don't be alarmed, because we've got sad songs coming. So
yeah, we do.
We'll get there. No, of all the listener feedback we got, I think this might have been brought up. Boy, I know it's been a year, but I really was kind of drawn to the Sal Soul Orchestra, the whole album. There's the song Merry Christmas All is great. It's got a cool kind of vibe to it. And then the rest of the album, there's medleys. It's jazzy. It's soulful. It's got a great album cover. Yep. So, yep, sure does. Oh, girl's, yeah.
Girl's nice to look at.
Yeah. Yeah, she is. She is. So, I want to give a shout out to everybody that continues to listen to our show and offer suggestions. I can't thank you guys enough. This is really cool. And every once in a while, you know, just when I try to claim I'm the self-proclaimed, you know, Christmas aficionado and all that stuff, somebody turns me on to a new song that I wasn't familiar with, and I appreciate it. So
just Nothing by Irving Berlin, please.
Yeah, we've had enough, that guy.
Christmas time is here. Somehow know the Christmas spirit they show. Sleigh bells in the snow. Everywhere you go.
right. So for the next song up, I'm still sticking in the soulful era, the soul R&B Motown kind of thing. I'm going with a new track to me this year. This was a new discovery to me. I Want to Come Home for Christmas by Marvin Gaye.
Just try to get us home in time.
You know, we've talked about Marvin Gaye in the past a little bit and how, you know, that was our dad, you know, used to love to remind me about why the importance of listening to Marvin Gaye when I was a kid, because he always used to say Marvin Gaye was killed by his father. So he used to kind of remind me like, hey, don't think you're going to skate through this life, you know. So that was, you know, that was important that we recognized that it was not out of the realm of possibility for a father to shoot their son. So
he just mentioned it. And then walked out of the room. He's just going to drop that there, and you had to deal with it.
Yeah. He used to do that, and I always kind of was. I thought it was a joke grenade. Like I was waiting for it to go off after a few minutes, but nope, he never came back in. Yeah. So that was the importance of Marvin Gaye in our childhood. No, for all kidding aside, for this particular song, I love this for a number of reasons. The cool story behind the song is it's a songwriting friend of Marvin Gaye's named Forrest Hairston, who was inspired by Tie a Yellow Ribbon Around the Old Oak Tree and wanted to write a similar song for troops in Vietnam that couldn't come home for the holidays. So he invited Marvin Gaye over to help him work on it. Marvin came up with the lyrics, made a few changes to the arrangement, then took it back to a studio and recorded the vocals in one take. But for some unknown reason, and you might know the reason, I don't, Motown never released it. Motown wouldn't release the song for 18 years. And it only appeared after Marvin Gaye's death, kind of like an Otis Redding kind of situation here. It was a bonus track on a greatest hits album. So the song was such a hit then that when it came out that Motown then went back and replaced it on Motown Christmas albums as subsequent pressings of it. The lyrics of the song are very, very on the nose. There's no cryptic imagery to it. It's just very specifically about the troops in Vietnam and about those overseas, you know, that can't be with the people they love because they're doing something far more important. This song has now become a staple of Armed Forces radio for troops overseas during the holidays. And it's not just for Vietnam troops, overseas in Iraq and all the other modern wars that we've had since then. This song is highly requested. My favorite weird part to the song is there's a strange little tempo change in spoken word rap that comes in at about the 2 minute mark that lasts for like 15 seconds and then it goes back to this nice soft jazzy ballad. And I just thought it was such a weird thing, like the way it comes in. When I first heard the track, I was like, oh god, did it go to the next song? Did I accidentally hit forward on my iPhone or something? And nope, it's the same song.
You hit two times speed.
Yeah, exactly. It's like watching a Netflix movie on 1.5. So that's it.
This was new to me too. I wasn't familiar with this song. And we'll include a link to the video for the song because the video is very cool. It's sort of this animated story video that goes along with the song. It's just a very neat, very style. In terms of the question of why this was delayed, I don't have an answer for that. And I would never even try to guess like the studio's thinking of what they think might be controversial at any particular time or damaging to the artist's reputation or brand. This song certainly, I don't think would have had anything. This is very in keeping with who Marvin Gaye was always perceived, but I just feel like
I thought maybe there were two possible options. One is that Marvin Gaye actually left Motown for a while, like in the 70s. And some of his bigger hits, like Let's Get It On and Mercy, Mercy Me and stuff, those weren't Motown label songs. So it's possible that there was some weird animosity towards that. Mm-hmm. Or the other option, the more realistic, plausible option, is it has something to do with Berry Gordy's cat. Oh yeah. All right. You're up.
Taking things into a more modern, actually speeding things up a couple of decades now, I'm going to play a song, Christmas Lights by Coldplay.
Those Christmas lights light up the street, down where the
First, I know it is sort of fashionable to hate on Coldplay. I know they're one of those bands that some people just can't stand them. They don't like them. I don't really get it. I really like their first couple of albums. I think that's all I really listened to. But I thought their first three albums were really, really good. But this song came out about a decade ago now. And I really, really liked it. But beyond that, like the whole idea of Christmas lights. Now, we for most of our lives have kind of teased and given crap to our mom about her making us put up Christmas lights. Even though we grew up in a one story, you know, ranch style house, it had these peaks above the garage and above the bedrooms. And we had a ladder that just looked like a death trap. Dad would never deign to decorate for the holidays and anything like that. He wanted nothing to do with that. So it was always our job to first you. And then when you were out of there, like it was my job at too young an age to get my ass 30, 40 feet up in the air to hang these Christmas lights from the peak of the roof and like run it along the gutter. And there's a famous family story that we often tell that when I was in high school, I was putting these up and my friend David, we heard him and saw him coming from a block away in his car as he just turned down the street and he's speeding up to us. And like the only comp to this is like in Monty Python and the Holy Grail, when you see the castle guards,
the running of
Sir Lancelot, and he's just running and you just see the guards just staring at him in the far distance, and it just cuts back and forth, the running and the staring, and that's just me and mom staring at David's car and just speeding down the highway, and it's like he's gonna stop right, and he skids to a halt in our driveway, his front fender coming inches away from the bottom of the ladder. And I'm at the top of this thing. If he hit this ladder, I'm going down on top of his car. Probably going to cave in the top of the car and kill him too. So I think about that when I'm putting up the lights. Now, again, we've always given mom crap about her making us do this. Now, I can tell you all of these years later, this is my deep, dark secret. I love putting up Christmas lights. I love everything about Christmas lights. Ever since I was a kid, when I was really little, there's just something about when it's the dead of winter and it gets dark so fast, so early in the day, and you look outside and it's just black, endless black, except for some of these houses that they're just outlined in colors. It's white or it's red and blue and a rainbow of potpourri of colors. Just like there's something about them that just they felt like sanctuaries. It felt like they were safe. Like if there was an emergency, I could run to those houses. The houses with lights on were safe places, literally like beacons of hope.
Good
and,
line.
And so I love kind of playing that back and forward. I put lights up around the deck outside our house today, and I strung up lights around the window behind my computer right now, as we're recording this. So that was really the impetus behind picking this song by Coldplay, whether you like it or not. But it's just that message of keep shining on that he sings in the song, because I feel like they're Christmas lights. They're just something that resonates with me as a feeling of hope, a feeling of security, like a security blanket when everything is dark and cold and scary, that these lights are just inspirational.
Boy, I'm happy you connected that song to the story, because it makes me appreciate the song a little bit more now. I know that feeling. Like, I remember, you know, we used to talk about this all the time, how we loved Christmas Eve so much because it was the one night that we didn't have to turn off the Christmas lights on the tree. That was the one night that we were allowed to keep it on all night, because we had to keep it on for Santa Claus. So that kind of thing, there was something about a house in utter darkness and the lights of the Christmas tree up. So I get that. And I like, you know, I remember a time when early in my travels in California, when I would come back for the holidays, and I had absolutely no money. I was barely surviving out there. And so I didn't have money for presents or anything, but I had read about a certain neighborhood in the suburbs of Chicago that was famous for doing Christmas, like for a slow drive-through neighborhood where all the houses are. And I remember that would be my gift to mom and be like, hey, I'm going to take you to this place. You know, let's go for a drive and let's get out and walk around this, you know, this amazing thing, or like the Arboretum kind of thing.
Yeah.
There's a lot. I had that. I know that connection you're talking about, and I'm probably more like you in terms of, yeah, we would bitch about having to do that and put those lights up on that death trap of a ladder. Yet at the same time, now that we don't do that, it makes you miss it. And it certainly, I certainly feel like, oh, who's not putting up the lights this year and that kind of thing. So yeah, I get that connection. I totally get it. Going back to the song that you chose, were you aware that Simon Pegg is a friend of Coldplay's, the actor Simon Pegg, and he's one of the Elvis violin players in the video. He's in the music video. I think he's in the middle. He's playing Elvis, playing the violin in the video for this. And so I thought that was cool. I agree with you that for some reason Coldplay gets a lot of backlash, and I'm not quite sure why. And my next song is Nickelback. And that's it. That's all I got to say about that one.
Then take us to what is your actual next song?
Okay, so let's get serious. This one's for Siskoid. So so the next song that I'm going to choose, this one, I'm going to slow down the tempo. I'm going to bring it down. You and I have talked for a long time about our connections to ballads and loneliness in the kind of Blue Christmas type of songs. Mm-hmm. So we've talked about that. I'm going to give you a specific story about how I connect to this next one. My next song is Merry Christmas to the One I Used to Know by Kelly Clarkson.
If everything was like a dream, you'd be by my side. And who I thought you were was true, not made up in my of me.
Cut to the chase. This song is probably the saddest Christmas song I've ever heard. It's off Kelly Clarkson's second album, although it just came out like 2 years ago. She's got more than one Christmas album, and it was written while she was going through a really ugly divorce. The song is certainly relatable to anyone who's ever felt alone and lonely at Christmas. Ryan, you and I have often talked about our affinity for those somber ballads, and you and I on previous podcasts have talked about walking alone in the cold, thinking about, you know, wondering why that one girl doesn't return the same affection we have for her and wishing that they would notice us as you stalked her outside the window and things like that we've talked about. So this type of song kind of resonates with us for some reason. However, the one thing that we don't have in common is feeling that way going through a divorce. And I'm not sure if you ever knew this, so I'm going to tell you a new story that I don't know if you're familiar with. After a couple of bad years and drifting further apart from Tina, Tina and I officially agreed to split up just before we were supposed to go to New York for Christmas in 2009. I think 2009, maybe 2010. I said I didn't want to go, but she was adamant about not wanting her family to know anything was wrong yet because it was really close to the holidays. So somehow, some way, I can't figure out why now, but she talked me into going. And so I went and spent Christmas with her family, and I played the role of the loving husband, all the while lying to her family, getting presents from her family, going out to dinner with her family, answering questions about our future to her family, who I adored more than her. And inside, it was killing me because we were done. Yeah. That we were done. So this song, this particular song, she sings lyrics that I felt word for word. Like, you aren't the one I'm missing. He left long ago. The Christmas Eve, this Christmas Eve, my gift to me is dancing with your ghost. So Merry Christmas to the one I used to know. That kind of happened. That was really there for me when Tina was no longer the person that I remember and or that we fell for. You know, that really happened. So this song, it resonates for me for all those reasons. It brings me right back to that horrible feeling of being in the same room with somebody yet being miles apart and lying to yourself and to her and to family and stuff. It might have been the greatest acting I've ever done because they had no idea. Ironically, we finally announced that we were getting divorced once we got back to LA in January. So the whole thing was kind of pointless. It was, I don't know why I just didn't go. But either way, this tragic, depressing song is like a gut punch for me in terms of emotion, but it's sung so beautifully and so vulnerable, and the lyrics resonate with me so much. It's like one of those songs I can't stop listening to. You know, there are certain songs that when you're sad, there are some people, everybody around you is going to be like, well, don't listen to sad songs, listen to a happy song. But there's always like a sad song you want to listen to because you're already sad and you feel a connection to it. This is that song for me.
Sucks to be you.
Yeah.
That's all I got. I don't have a story to connect with it, but it is beautiful on every technical level, and she does an amazing job with it, and I'll leave it at that. Right now, folks, we've got two more songs on our list. But before we get to those, again, we had this this idea of something that kind of came up last year of these Christmas commercials and memories associated with Christmas commercials. And you brought this up to me. And the first one that I thought of, actually, I had to sort of retroactively go back and piece this together because it was part of a string of commercials that didn't originate as Christmas commercials. If you remember, in the 90s, these polar bears that were the sort of mascots of Coca-Cola, the crude days of computer animation.
Yeah.
There was a commercial. I think the first one started with this polar bear just walking along the ice to a group of other polar bears that were just sitting, and it just kind of like plops down heavily on its butt. And all of these polar bears look up as the aurora borealis lights up in the northern sky, and they're all just kind of staring there. And one of them takes out a Coke bottle and drinks it and goes,
Yeah, they always moaned.
Yeah, yeah. And that was a big deal for us because we were a Coke family, not
like that Coke family, but like
we were, right later we would become a Coke family.
Yeah, but, yeah, that was our drink of choice. And yeah,
I just remember in that commercial, like thinking they're looking up at the sky, and one of the bears, one of the polar bears, is thinking the Aurora Borealis in your living room.
In this part, in this time of year, in this part of the country, localized entirely within your kitchen. But anyway, so this, there were other commercials like this when you had like this polar bear and the two polar bear cubs and they were playing mm-hmm. with them. And then there was this commercial version and or a Christmas version, and where one of the cubs is playing with like a ball or something, and it falls into the cold water, and like a leopard seal pops up and they bounce it back to each other, and the polar bears are wearing scarves. So I always think of, like, when I think of Christmas commercials, for some reason, I think of those polar bears drinking Coke, because I had an addiction to Diet Coke from the time I was 12 years old until until 71 days ago.
I hope this trip down memory lane isn't a trigger for you to fall off the wagon.
At this point, we'll see. But
those yeah. are that those are great. I remember those specifically. I do remember. See, and here's the reason. You know, before I list a couple and throw some names out there, you know, we've talked about Christmas specials, we've talked about songs, we've talked about movies, we've talked about a lot of this stuff, but there was some, what I want our listeners to kind of grasp, there was something magical as a child about seeing Christmas commercials. Like the earlier they came on, it was like a sign that it was mm-hmm. time. You know, there was, I remember, like, come December, the first Christmas commercial you saw, you were like, oh, there it is. There's the first one. And it kind of just, it changes the tone of the month when you're a kid. Mm-hmm. And so some of these, you know, like you said, last year, I mentioned the Folgers coffee commercial with, I think it was called Peter Comes Home.
Yep.
Is technically yep. what it's called. I remember the oldest one that I can actually remember seeing as a kid and knowing that this meant Christmas was coming. It was a Norelco electric razor commercial. And it might have been black and white, but it was Santa riding an electric razor through the snow towards the North Pole house. And it was kind of like, that Rankin and Bass style stop motion animation.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
And it was just weird that was, to me, it was just because it was a razor in the snow and it was Santa Claus. And it was like early, I remember that commercial being like, oh my God, that meant, you know, that meant it's Christmas time and uh-huh. stuff like that, even though I had no idea what an electric razor was. What else you got?
I remember the M&M's commercial when they're like sneaking in the house and they find Santa, and
that's,
it's like
awesome.
this double surprise when, like, he does exist, and like yep. Santa's like, they do exist. And that one, I always like that one. There's the, again, getting back to Coca-Cola, the Santa cans are coming. Do you remember that?
Yes.
One? It's this
yes.
fleet of semi-trucks, again,
yeah.
lit up. The trucks have just like lights all around their borders as they're driving through this bleak winter,
yep.
like snow path and everything, and like this big sand, because Santa Claus was taking over the Coca-Cola can for that
That's
month.
Right. That's
and
right.
Once that happened, it was like, get ready, Christmas is coming, because this is our new product place. We've got Santa on our Coca-Cola cans, and it's for a limited time, so you've got to buy them now.
I remember, you know, this might even be before your time. I don't know if you remember this, but there was a really popular Coca-Cola commercial from, like, probably before you were born. But it started out with like a single person singing, I'd like to buy the world a Coke in perfect.
I know, yeah, I know the jingle.
And then,
yeah.
and then as the camera kind of panned out, it was like a big mass of people all holding a single candle and in the shape of like a giant Christmas tree. Mm. And it was just a beautiful commercial, just this giant chorus of people singing this popular jingle. Mm. And it was just that I remember that. I remember there was a McDonald's commercial with Ronald skating on a pond.
Yes, I remember that one.
And that was like
with
one
the,
of those,
like with the little kid who couldn't,
yeah,
was too
the little kid,
skate,
yeah, the little kid that was like the golden echo harmonica. And then so Ronald McDonald picked him up and skated with him, and it was like one of those, even as a kid, it was like that kind of was a tearjerker. It was a little bit of like, oh, that was like, oh, you see, oh, that's so cute.
Well, it was literally for me, because I'm sure I told this story, but the only time I've ever been ice skating was at the lagoon when we brought up, and I was like a little kid. There was a group of people playing hockey at the frozen lagoon, and somebody like slap shot, like the puck hit me in the ankle and took my feet right out from under me, and I went down, head hit the ice, and knocked myself unconscious.
I was
six or seven. I don't know.
I do remember that story. Well, here's another one. Do you remember? You have to remember this one. There was a Fruity Pebbles commercial where the Flintstones met Santa Claus. And I remember Santa coming down, and just because they sang the song, it was like, Yabba Dabba Fruit, delicious stew.
Yes, yes.
And it was,
yes.
And they sang the song like, oh, here comes you know who.
Yes, that's the line I remember. Oh, here comes you yes. know who. I know that one. Yes.
Yeah, that was awesome. I remember that. That was a good one. I want to point out really quick before we move too far off this too. There's a lot of really good quality recent commercials too. Most notably, I remember three specific. I think they're Apple commercials, maybe even iPhone commercials, but they're like movie like commercials. And I want to point these out because these have all been in the last 5 years. The first one I remember was it's called Saving Simon. And it's a little girl who at the end of the Christmas season wants to save the snowman in her front yard because some kid is walking through kicking them all. So she takes the snowman, puts it in her freezer, and then keeps it the whole year through a hot, cold, all the stuff, power outages, all the stuff. And then at the end of the year, when the first snow falls, she goes back out and puts it in the ground. And it's like, oh, great. And then the kid rides by with his bike and kills it and breaks the snowman. And so you're like, what the? And then the family gets together with her and they start building the snowman together. And it's like this kind of thing. But it's like one of those epic, like 60-second commercial spots. There was another one with Brad Garrett where he played Frankenstein, and it was I think it was an iPhone commercial, and he was like comes down as Frankenstein comes down to a Christmas village from the mountains and tries to sing to the crowd, but he's the two bulbs on his neck are red and green, and okay. one of them goes out and he can't sing, and the whole town is horrified because Frankenstein's monster is right in front of them. And then some little girl goes up and screws back in the bulb and it turns back on. And then they all sing together. And it's like, it's beautiful. It's just a gorgeous commercial. So there was that. There was another one that I remember. It was like a misunderstood kid on his phone. The whole commercial setup is that the family's all in the house for Christmas. Everybody's doing stuff. And this little kid is on his phone the whole time and he's not paying attention. He's not engaging with everybody. Everybody's mad. They think he's being selfish and self-absorbed and not paying attention. And so they all get mad at him. And then on Christmas morning, what he reveals is he's been filming them doing everything together and making a movie of all of them on his iPhone. And it's just beautiful. And then of course they all love him and they hug him and stuff. So if you get a chance, to the people out there listening, like, and I'm curious to know what you guys remember, what people remember from their childhood, bring back something that maybe we haven't thought about that was important to you guys. Maybe it was important to us too, but yeah, the whole point of this was just that there's still some like childlike wonder and excitement in me. The first Christmas commercial I see. I mean, I remember, mm-hmm. I think it was a Target commercial and it was before Halloween. It was like the week of Halloween, but it was the first Christmas commercial. And I remember making a mental note in my head, just like I did as a kid. I was like, that's the first one.
Alrighty, we're back to our song selections. And my final official song on this year's playlist is My Christmas Card to You by the Partridge Family.
Picking up a letter that I'm writing in my head. Christmas card to all the folks I love. Instead of letting the postman bring it, I decided I'd rather sing it. Especially for you. For you. To you and all your family, your neighbors and your friends. May all your days be happy with the joy that never ends. May peace and love surround you at Christmas time and all the whole year through. May your life be filled with sunshine, may your every wish come true. May you find the sweet fulfillment in everything you do. May your days be blessed with the very, very best, both now and the whole year through. It says so in my Christmas card to you and all your family, your neighbors and your friends. May all your days.
All right. I will be completely honest. I know very, very little about the Partridge Family. And I don't like saying something was before my time. Like, that's an excuse, because so many of my interests in music, comics, books, entertainment, like, is from before
Irving Berlin.
Yeah. Before my formative years, if not before my birth. So the Partridge Family, it's just like this pop culture blind spot. Like, I know the cast included David Cassidy and Danny Bonaducci and Susan Day, and I know that they're a musical family, and that was kind of it. I didn't know how many seasons the show lasted. I didn't know how many records they sold. I didn't know that they made a Christmas album in particular in 1971, except a few years ago, and I don't remember how this one got on my radar, but I know a few years ago I stumbled upon this song because I used it in a different podcast when I reviewed an Ant-Man Christmas comic. And as soon as I heard it, I love the song. It's wholesome, it's upbeat, it's fun. It doesn't feel cheesy or schmaltzy. It's a good tune, and this one has become my feel good Christmas song. My sort of default, like, over the last couple of years, this has become like, this keeps ticking higher and higher on my list. So, you know, I've got my Oh Holy Nights and my Sad Bastard songs, and this one has become like the good times.
You got your Siskoid songs.
Yes. But this is my new favorite, like, joyous, happy Christmas song. And yeah, that's all I got. It's just a fun one.
Yeah, you're pretty much right on the nose with that. It's a great song choice. When you first told me that this song made your list, I wasn't sure if you were joking, if you were picking it in jest as like a Jan Terry kind of song. But after I revisited it and listened to it, it isn't a joke. It's not a joke song at all. You know, my interpretation, here's it. You and I are very, very similar in the fact that for some reason, I don't know anything about the Partridge Family. Don't know anything about them. Now, if you were to talk about the Monkees as the TV show itself, I could tell you everything about them. I knew everything about them.
Even though that was like before me, I remember watching reruns of the Monkees a lot when I was.
Yeah. So there's kind of no reason why we just kind of avoided the Partridge Family. I just didn't know. But I anticipated this song to be similar to like if a TV family that played musicians. Like, if the Monkees did a Christmas song, you would think, okay, it's a comedy piece kind of thing. It'd be like Flight of the Conchords or something. But this is a legit of the era, not early 1970s Christmas song. It's good. They harmonize. They sing well. It's wholesome. It's happy. It's a fun track. I kind of agree with you. It's just basic fun.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. What is our final but not really final song for this year on A Very Daily Christmas Volume 5?
Well, if not for one more song coming up, wink, wink, I wouldn't choose this last song as my final song of the night. But I'm allowed to go the exact opposite of your reasons for picking your song, the Partridge Family song. I'm going a complete 180 on this. And I'm going with a song that you and I both freely admit we should have done this a long time ago. Don't know why it took us so long to get to this song, but
when you mentioned it this year, I was like, I know we've done this one.
I felt the same way.
Yeah.
I felt the same way. I can't believe we hadn't done it. So anyway, the song, the last song on my official list is the song, the original song, Make It Home by Juliana Hatfield.
Open a window, let in the snow. Cold is all I know. Go to the fire, stir it around. There's a
Okay, so like I said, I can't believe we haven't discussed this yet. It's easily one of both of our favorites. This makes every pop Christmas list, ballad list that we have. This was an original song written and performed by Juliana Hatfield specifically for the Christmas episode of the TV show My So-Called Life. That Christmas episode was called So-Called Angels. We are big fans of that show, of the run of the show from the mid-90s, Claire Danes, Jared Leto. A number of other people broke out from that show. This particular episode, the Christmas episode, was one of the most emotional and gut-wrenching episodes of the entire series. It was a show. The show entirely, for those unfamiliar of what the concept of My So-Called Life, it was basically a little bit more of an alternative, grittier take on after-school special stuff. A little bit. Claire Danes was a teenage girl trying to fit in a world. So they took a lot of the themes of teenage girls, unpopular girls trying to fit in, that after school specials try to make. And this one got a little bit darker, a little grittier, a little bit more raw, so to speak. And that's what the hook of the show was. This particular episode, the Christmas episode, wasn't a feel-good episode by any means. It dealt with domestic violence, loneliness, homelessness, and even teen suicide. Throughout the episode, Juliana Hatfield appears herself in the episode. She appears as basically to guide Claire Danes' mom to find her daughter, Claire Danes, who she thinks may have run away on Christmas Eve because of her friends going through all their various problems, calling a suicide hotline. Her buddy Ricky is beaten for being gay by his uncle and is living on the street. Only at the end of the episode do we have this big reveal, which is like a shocking, like, oh my God, didn't see that coming, that Juliana Hatfield's character is a ghost. She's the ghost of a dead runaway teen who's now become a Christmas Eve angel trying to save Claire Danes and Claire Danes' mom specifically from suffering that same type of fate on Christmas Eve. Boy, you know, we've talked before, Ryan, about some of the great Christmas episodes of television. You know, you've talked about a lot of Aaron Sorkin shows and things like that. You know, there's just a lot of them. This one is really should be up there. At least it's probably often overlooked because the show only ran two seasons. This particular Christmas episode is such good television, and this song is perfectly placed, and it's just amazing. So this makes my list, and I can't believe we didn't talk about this before.
It was an incredible episode. It's an incredible song. It's beautiful. Like, you're right. Like, this is on my list perpetually. And I think maybe just the overfamiliarity is why we kind of forgot about it in previous episodes. But not only was it special for all of those reasons, I know that this was my introduction to Juliana Hatfield.
Yep.
Because after this episode, you told me, I was like, no, she's a real, a real singer. And I think like in the 90s, it was her and Liz Phair were like my favorite, like female kind of like grunge folk alternative singers until like later in the 90s with Fiona Apple when she kind of broke out.
Right.
But I love Juliana Hatfield, and I got more of her stuff when I was in college actually and went back through her catalog. Recently, she's released a couple of cover albums just like in the last few years, I think because of COVID. And she released a couple of covers of some of my favorite Electric Light Orchestra songs, like her doing some of my favorite ELO songs. But anyway, yeah, just I love
think,
her.
I think she actually did like an Olivia Newton-John album.
She's
super cool and straight up from that early 90s alternative scene too.
Right. Like, and has a huge discography. Like, she's one of the, like, she's never stopped writing and recording.
Right.
Like,
correct.
For like the past 30 something years, she's been at it. And just like her voice, and yeah, it's a beautiful song. Like, it's not overtly Christmas, but just because of that episode and its placement, like that is the association and the sort of angelic quality, especially with the children's choir singing along with it, like, or her voice, like her falsetto kind of in capturing that angelic choir, that children's choir type of sound. Yeah, it's just beautiful. I don't know if you've noticed this, but from the first song on my list to the last song on your list, we've kind of flipped this year. Like,
yes, we have.
Traditionally, it's
yes, we have.
I'm usually the one who brings more of the somber, like, as I call the sad bastard Christmas songs, and you bring like the big band, up tempo, old fashioned, swinging ones.
Yeah,
and this year, No, I've got all of those. Like, I've got the Partridge Family and Hannah Waddingham, and you're doing like your last couple are like suicide songs.
Yeah, that is true. Also written by Irving Berlin, I should point out.
Oh yeah.
Yeah. So that's officially our list for this year. Ryan, what else do you want to talk about?
Well, we did promise them a story, and
yes.
So picking up from last year when we said we were all going to spend the holidays together, last year for Christmas, if you've managed to block it out of your memory, you probably forgot that the weather was probably a major character in your holidays if you had to travel anywhere. The weather.
Wait, hold it. Let me interject. The mishaps that are to come started with the Christmas card fiasco of Sam Malone prior to you even getting here.
That's true. Which we talked about, but that kind of
set the bar for what to expect.
Now, getting a Christmas present ruined because of like just this mistake on the address label. But snowstorms and Southwest Airlines probably played a bigger part in your holidays last year than you wanted them to. Certainly for us. As I said, we were going out to DeKalb to see you guys and our parents, we being me, my wife, my son, and also my father-in-law, Angie's dad, Dave, decided that he would come with us this time. So we had this whole extent, and we were planning to drive, and then we looked at the weather report, and we were like, whoa, okay, the weather is going to be terrible for driving unless there's this narrow window. Can we shoot the gap? So Angie actually had to go to her boss and ask if she could leave early for the Christmas holiday and get out of there because of this whole thing. And she was. So we left like the day before we had planned to, so that we could actually get ahead of this storm. And we finally made it there. Now, once we got out of New England, the storm barrels down and it knocks out power all over the states and the city, like where we're around, including knocks out the power at my father-in-law's house. And as soon as we were like in DeKalb, like he's fretting because his house is out without power. It's going to be for like a week. If the temperature goes below zero, his pipes are going to freeze. Yep. They're going to break. It could like just destroy his home.
Yeah.
So he's like, oh, he's like, I got to go back. He's like, I'm sorry. I need to go back. I can't be here for Christmas. And we're like, well, we would understand, but we literally, physically cannot get you back. So he's trying to talk to his brother and his girlfriend to go to his house to see, because he's got a backup generator. Can they turn the backup generator on? They can't get to his house.
Right.
So me and Angie feel horrible because we brought, you know, my father-in-law. And you always, I mean, you have this with Tina's dad. I mean, you have a relationship with your father-in-law. And I have a really good one with Dave. Mm-hmm. But there's always this thing where you don't want to piss him off. You want to respect him. You want him to respect you. And it's like, I took him away from his house and it's going to just like for Christmas and his house, he's going to lose his house because of this. Like,
you're sitting there going, this is going to cost me.
Exactly. I'm like, I'm going to take the blame for this somehow. especially it's a running joke, but like I always say, like, if it was between me and Dave, Angie would pick her dad in a heartbeat. Like I stand no chance.
I might too.
There you go. He's a good guy.
Yeah, good guy.
He's everything I'm not. Anyway, so that was the start of it. He was miserable. And then once we got to DeKalb, also the storm hit us, so we couldn't go anywhere.
Yep.
We couldn't shot. Like, you and I basically had a 15-minute window of good weather to go shopping. That we stretched to like 3 hours because we had to go to like four different stores around the suburbs.
Yep.
And we're like in the snow. It's like, we need to get off the road. It's like, well, okay, one more store.
Yep. The blizzard hit us while we were out shopping.
Yeah. So like now we've got our whole family there, but it's like, we can't go anywhere. We can't go to see the Christmas lights and something. We can't go to the Arboretum. We can't do any of these cool things that we'd planned. We're just stuck there.
Yes.
With this feeling that this poor man is going to lose his house, and it's going to be, and then blessedly, like, eventually his brother was able to get to the house, and he didn't need the backup generator because the temperature never went but so low in his house because he's got these huge windows, so it keeps temperature warm. That doesn't matter. The house was fine, but he ended up, like, then he his return trip was going to be the day after Christmas. Southwest canceled it at the last minute, but we anticipated that Southwest was going to cancel it, so we actually preemptively bought another ticket from United that was honored, so we actually left early and got home earlier than he expected, and Southwest ended up paying for that and, like, recouping it because they had screwed up their situation so badly. So,
well, before he left town, before he left town,
that was just Dave's saga, but, like, yeah, the other stuff going
on. He also decided to cook Christmas Eve dinner, though.
Yeah, yes.
Yeah.
And we put the food in the oven.
Yep.
And just left it there.
Yep.
Nobody thought to turn the oven off.
A couple people went and checked on it and was like, wow, why is this taking so long? Yet didn't think to look if the oven is on.
Or really check that it was warm?
Yeah. Yeah. They're like, this is just taking longer than it should. Yeah. All these things, and there's plenty of more. There's plenty more stories. Like, that same, like, week, our mom went out hiking in the woods in Russell's Woods with a couple of girlfriends and crossed a bridge over a little pond, got lost, realized they didn't know where they were. So they decided, let's keep going rather than turn around and walk back the way we came. They're like, let's just keep walking. There's got to be another bridge somewhere. They never once thought to just turn around. So they went forward and forward and forward, and hours later ended up somehow in a gas station, like, miles away. And this kind of stuff happened at last year's Christmas. So, at a certain point, Ryan and I, you and I were laughing about all the things that possibly could have gone wrong. Like, we were like, this is, I think we were actually talking about it specifically with Dave, because we were like, this poor guy, like, you know, what are the chances everything could possibly go wrong this Christmas? And then it dawned on us, we were like, hey, you know what? We should write a song about that. That would be fun. So I came up with the idea. And said, now this is going to be my quick version of how we got to the song. You can interject and tell your side of the story if it's different. But so I said, all right, well, let's write a Christmas rap song. I'd done Halloween rap songs. I'd done all kinds of things. Like, this is our, like, this is our alter ego characters that we do for fun. It's just for fun. It's not to be taken seriously. So we decided, all right, I'm going to write a rap song. Or I was like, let's do a rap song. Let's do it like Run DMC style, Beastie Boy style. We'll alternate lines instead of I do a verse, you do a verse, I do a verse. We were like, we're going to overlap. We're going to bring it old school. And I was like, so I pitched you this idea. And you're like, that's awesome. Great idea. Can you write it? I was like, okay, so I'll write it. So I worked on it for 2 or 3 days, knowing that you were eventually going to leave town. And I wanted to record it before you left. Mm-hmm. Found the music for it, wrote the lyrics, kept pitching you the lyrics, and you would be like, well, I like this line, but I want to say this. You know, let's have one more line about this. So I'd rewrite it and rewrite it and rewrite it. Finally, I've got the song. I give it to you, and you're like, yeah, okay, let's do it. And so you're going to be there for 2 more days. And I'm like, all right, so you got to come over and record it. And then it was like, oh, I can't get over there today and do it. I got to do this. I got to do this. There was always an excuse you couldn't do it. I'm like, oh, damn, I really want to get this done before you leave. And then finally, the last day you were there, I was like, can we do it? And you're like, no, I'm not going to have time to do it. We'll have to do it in the summer. Meanwhile, Angie pulls me aside at one point and says, why are you trying to pressure Ryan to rap so bad? And I'm like, what are you talking about? This was his idea. This was like, we came up with this together. She goes, Ryan can't rap. I'm going, well, why are you telling me this now? God damn it. Like, what the hell? So it doesn't work out. You end up skipping town, and I have to sit on this song for 6 months until you come back to visit in the summertime. Mm-hmm. So I'm telling you, months before you get here in the summer, I'm like, all right, dude, I recorded all of the vocal parts, yours and mine, on the song, and I send it to you. I'm like, I need you to memorize your parts. And you're like, okay. So I send it to you, and you're here in town, IndieKelb, for 3 weeks. From the moment you get here, I'm like, hey, can we record that? And you're like, yeah, we'll get to it. I'm like, okay. A week goes by. Hey, dude, I need you to come over and record your part. And you're like, oh, okay, I can't do it right now. I can't do it right now. And I'm going, oh, my God, he's really going to bail on me. This is really not going to work. And I'm like kind of going, God damn it. This is horrible because I wanted to finish the song in the summer and then record a video for it by Christmas time this coming year and all the stuff. So finally, the last day that you're in DeKalb in the summer, you text me and you're like, hey, I've got an hour. And you're like, you want to do that song? And I'm like, yeah, sure. Cool. So you come over to my house and I'm like, dude, so have you listened to the song? And you go, no. I'm like, okay. So you don't have it memorized. You're like, no. Like, all right. So I give you the lyric sheet, set up the microphone. And I'm like, we'll be here all day. We'll do this as many. We'll be here all, as long as we have to. And I'm like, Ryan, we can do one song at a time. We can do a piece or one track at a line at a time, piecemeal, whatever. And I'm like sitting there going, I'm going to need a shot for this because we're like, I'm settling in for a long winter's nap, if you know what I mean. I'm like, all right, let's record one. Let's give it a shot. You bang it out in one take. One take. And then you look at me and you're like, we good? I'm like, yeah. And you're like, okay, cool. I got to go. And then you left. And since that time, I've mixed the song, mixed our vocals, put it together, played it, sampled it for a couple other people, got a kids group of chorus to come, some neighborhood kids singers to come in and sing the chorus to the track and join it. And everybody has the same reaction that listens to it. They're like, oh my God, Ryan's so good. It's so good. He must have put a lot of thought into this. And I'm sitting here biting my tongue going, that bastard. He did the bare minimum to this track. But so that's, you know, like many things in my brother's life, somehow he forces me into something that I end up diving into the deep end of the pool and commit myself wholeheartedly with every fiber of my being to doing something. And then Ryan hides under a pile of coats and hopes it all works out. And it always does.
Officially, the reason it took me so long to get on board was because I was contractually obligated to record with Little John.
Oh, yeah.
I am the Kool-Aid man. That was me all along.
Oh, my God. Oh, my God. Well, needless to say, it's a fun story to tell for the listeners because what you're about to hear, I spent a long, long time working on and Ryan banged out in one take. So without further ado, Ryan, if you want to introduce it.
Absolutely. Folks, get ready, brace yourselves for the premiere of It's Christmas, Murphy's Law.
Time and the snow is falling down.
Love is all around.
Children calling out. The hustle and bustle got me flexing my credit card muscle, shoveling driveways.
Just trying to get paid.
It's the daily family.
Putting up our Christmas tree.
Spreading love and joy and glee.
Sharing what it needs to be.
Wishing and hoping that this year we won't be moping and coping with all the name calling, the shame.
And the names.
Cause at this festive time of year when everyone is full of cheer, our bridges run all out of beer.
We're into the scotch.
Like a kick to the crotch.
The best intentions get boxed.
Stocking filled with black rocks.
You call your dick in the box.
Neighbors calling the cops.
Ran out of peppermint schnapps.
Grocery stores out of stock.
You broke your key in the lock.
And as the temperature drops, hot water suddenly stops running.
Fun for all,
it's
y'all.
It's just Christmas
and in Murphy's Law.
Everything goes wrong
at Christmas.
That's in Murphy's Law. It's a vacation when everything goes wrong
at Christmas.
That's in Murphy's Law. Hey, I'm just saying.
Ho, ho, hello, I'm coming home for the holidays. Crazy just how many ways you end up in the reindeer games.
Layover
overstays.
The interstate is a maze.
Storms roll in like a haze.
My patience put to the test.
Second guessing the trip.
Hot chocolate burning the lips on my face and my chest is starting to compress. And yet I'm doing my best to make it home from this quest.
But air travel's a jet.
Fuck you, Southwest.
Is this your money is tight, but we're still trying to do right.
And keep it merry and bright, just like Rudolph's red nose.
Hoping and wishing when all ambition is missing that someone out there is listening.
Where my ho-ho-hos?
When it's all been said and done.
And we can say it was fun.
The dumb things I should have shunned no longer give me pause.
Cause here comes Santa Claus.
And with him comes a greater cause.
When everything goes wrong, y'all.
It's Christmas at Murphy's Law.
Everything goes wrong.
At Christmas.
Right up to Murphy's Law.
At Christmas. Really be worse. Your mother could lose her purse.
She could invent a new curse.
Your dad's affection and spurts.
Your aunt quotes a Bible verse.
The family car's like a hearse.
Takes you to visit the nurse in the hospital.
Huh?
Cause you're sick as a dog.
You hit a tree in the fog.
You dropped a big Yule log on the fire. Got a flat tire?
Your ex call you a liar for things you said years prior. But the thing about Christmas is,
without rhyme or reason,
'tis the season to be kind to all.
Without saying please,
someone is freezing.
Someone's lost.
Or at the end of their rope. And you can be their dream of sympathy.
A beacon of hope.
To spread a little joy to those with no mistletoe. To hang above the ones they love.
To kiss.
To have.
And to hold.
'Cause when everything goes wrong.
Like when you fall at the handicap stall at the mall. Wait. Never mind. It's fine. It's fine.
It's Christmas and Murphy's Law.
Oh, yeah.
Oh, yeah. All righty. That was it. And the good news, folks, you got the audio version of it,
yes.
But hopefully as a special bonus Christmas present for your eyeballs on Christmas Day, if you check us out on December 25th,
yeah,
you will be able to see this rap song in truly all of its glory.
Yep. Yeah. I don't want to give any secrets away about the concept of the video. Let's just say the lyrics kind of tell the story really, really well. It's Murphy's Law translated. Anything that can go wrong will go wrong. So I think you guys are going to be pleasantly surprised. And if we do our job, this video is going to go viral. This thing is going to be all over the place. So you guys got it. You guys got to listen to it here first and stay tuned because the video is next.
Yep.
Hey, Ryan, before we go, go back to the story about your friend. You were saying what you were afraid to say what your worst Christmas song is. You didn't want to mention it, but now everybody's been waiting with bated breath for it. So you got to hit us with it.
And I know I'm going to take some crap for this one, but I, to me, like,
just remember,
song,
they've already heard our songs.
Right.
You can kind of say whatever you want now.
I can't stand this, but it's Wonderful Christmas Time by Sir Paul McCartney.
Oh, agreed 100%.
Really?
Oh my God. 100%.
Oh. I turn oh, that thank song. You.
I change every time that song's on the radio. When I hear those keyboard parts to open the song, I immediately mute the radio like it's that Cars for Kids commercial, 1-800-CARS. Like I cannot hear that keyboard part anymore. I'm so with you. And if people get upset about that, I'm sorry, but that is not a good Christmas song.
No, it's it's cheesy by Christmas standards, by Jan Terry Christmas standards.
Yes, it is. Wow, no, I'm surprised. I was nervous about what you were going to say, thinking it was going to piss me off.
No,
I'm with you.
I'm glad you're with me.
100%. Now, of course, the people that are fans of that song are going to attack us for our song, but
well, they've already listened to it, so.
Yep. Suckers, we got your money.
Spread the word. It's Christmas, Murphy's Law.
Written by Irving Berlin.
He hated Southwest Airlines too.
Yes, he did.
Oh, yeah.
All right. Fire and Water Records is a proud part of the Fire and Water Podcast Network. Feedback for the show can be left at fireandwaterpodcast.com as well as the Facebook page for Fire and Water Records.
Special thanks to our Patreon supporters. For information on how you can support the Fire and Water Podcast Network, visit patreon.com/FWPodcasts.
All music clips and quoted lyrics are used for entertainment purposes. Please support the artists and their work by purchasing or downloading the songs legally.
Including ours.
Especially ours.
Thanks for listening, everybody. Merry Christmas.
Merry Christmas and happy holidays. Oh, yeah.
Oh, yeah.